1007 KMSD Radio. It's the Conservation Show. It is live. We say hello to Adam and Sonny, who have joined us in studio. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
How you both doing?
Good.
Good.
We check in with the one and only, because there's only really one way to start a conservation show. That is with the unbelievably talented Jenny over at Schmidt's Landing. We say hello to her as always. Jenny, how in the world are you for a feel-good Friday?
Good morning. Doing good.
So give us a snapshot. The week that was in the land of the Schmidts.
I would say if you have to talk about one fish this week, it would be the northern.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. There's been so many reports of people catching really large northern.
Hmm.
Or seeing them, or, yeah. So it's kind of, that's, I'm hoping with the weather, like today is really nice. I think tomorrow is supposed to be windy. And then next week is supposed to be warmer. I'm hoping that gets the perch going. I'd say bluegill, people have been catching some of those, a few crappie, but the perch have just kind of, I don't know, hibernated or something the last few days. So
they've gone incognito.
Yeah, maybe they're like dressed as northern. I don't know. But somehow there's like a bunch of them together.
That is really interesting. As far as that is really interesting than the northern bite, which number one in and of itself is interesting, but number two. It'll be a good thing if you're going after northerns, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're going after northerns, obviously not the best thing for perch, because if there's one thing I know, and I don't know much of anything, but one of the things that I do know is that when perch see a northern, they gone.
They out.
They gone. They go. They gone.
And maybe that's why no one's seen them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty good reason. Yep.
So many northern right now. But, yeah, so, but the funny thing is, or the good thing, is, like, people are starting to target them now because that's what they've been seeing. So, there's been some pretty good northern stories coming in and, you know, coming to look for a scale so they can see how big they are and, yeah.
So
that part's pretty fun.
So are these like just like monster northerns? Have you seen pictures of them? Are we talking what, 15 pounds plus? Or what are we talking here as far as the northerns go?
I don't know. We're all over the place. And sometimes, you know, it's a fish story. Sometimes they grow or get smaller. Like,
how close
usually
can you hold them to the camera?
Bigger.
Yeah, right. It's sunny. Good point.
I mean, what do you want to hear?
Caught this enormous northern. It was 8 pounds. 5 days later, it was 50.
Yeah.
It was a 50-pound northern. I caught it. Was the biggest.
It couldn't fit through the hole.
It was a huge, huge northern. So there we go.
I did have that. They didn't fit through the hole. This one that the guy lost. He tried to get it 5 times. It wouldn't fit through the hole. So, yeah, there's the fish story right there.
Wow.
That's big. But, yeah, you know, the only requirement for a fish story is that every time you tell it, it has to get bigger.
Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer as far as that goes. So there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first, really. Northern's going crazy right now. I wonder why. Proliferation of bait fish making the northerns fat and happy? I don't know.
Me and Adam were looking at each other like,
I like it.
I have no idea.
People can't see this, Jenny, because it's radio, but they both looked at each other and just kind of went, uh-oh. I don't know.
I was hoping Adam gave some really smart answer.
I have no insight. Blake would make something up for sure.
No, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, Blake would make something up.
Yeah.
You see, it would be, he'd go and just, something technical, like it's the proliferation of
lots of big words.
Yeah, and we'd all believe him.
Yeah, no. It's not that we don't believe him. It's just that he's feeding us a line. That's absolutely it as far as that goes. So what are they using to target these enormous northern, whatever, because they're hungry.
So the minnows I carry are smaller minnows, like your crappie or smaller fathead minnows. So people are looking for the sucker minnows for that.
Gotcha. So there we go.
I'm guessing most people are still trying to target walleye, perch, bluegills, and they're just happening to catch northerns at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. There are some people that are specifically targeting northerns. Like, they come in and do, you know, ask that. But, yeah, the majority of people are, you know, catching or trying to catch the perch and bluegill, and then, but they're happy with catching whatever because it's fun.
Yeah.
So
there we go. How are you looking with bait this weekend?
So I'm waiting for some waxworms. They're supposed to be delivered today. So I'm hoping to get them soon. I do have red and white spikes and then minnows. We do have, you know, the smaller tungsten jigs and stuff that people have been looking for. We are stocked up on pizzas, beverages, all sorts of goodies. I think we just got a shipment of chips. So
There you go.
Yep. So, yeah, our hours this week are Sunday to, every day of the week, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
What are we seeing as far as traffic goes? Are folks driving on the lake now? Is it full drivable truck access goodness?
It is, but you do have to beware of, like, heaves and things like that. I mean, you definitely want to be alert and know where you're going.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Are we seeing a lot of folks? Are we seeing a lot of folks out trying it?
Yeah, this morning we've had a lot of people go out. It's starting to get busy. I think today is supposed to be really nice. So, yeah, a lot of people are trying to get out and fish.
After last weekend's cold, everybody's going to be itching to get out this weekend.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine. So what are we talking as far as cabins go? Are you full? You got some openings? What do we got?
We are full this weekend. Actually, quite a few weekends in a row here we're full. I think the end of February I have some openings on the weekends. During the week, though, I do have openings going forward. And we have that special that if you stay 3 weeknights, you get the 4th weeknight free. So you can either make your reservation online at schnitzlanding.com or you can give me a call, 605-432-6911.
There we go. Stop by. Grab your snacks. Grab everything you need. Schmitz Landing, the place to go. We appreciate it as always. Thank you so much. And we will check in with you again next Friday, Jenny.
Yeah, thanks. Have a great weekend.
All right. So there we go. Northerns.
You know,
going crazy. That's the first I've heard of it, although I have been kind of out of the fishing loop this winter since I've not really, I've not fished at all. I've not gone ice fishing.
Northerns. You think you
will? I don't know. I didn't last year.
Yeah.
I might. I'm looking at the weather, and I'm like, you know, I should get out of here. It's going to be really nice next week.
You don't have a Lake of the Woods trip planned? Or?
No.
Don't you usually do a tournament?
Yeah, see, the problem with the lake, I loved going to the Lake of the Woods. That was outstanding when we went to the Lake of the Woods. The problem with the Lake of the Woods is that the last time we went, I forget the year, it was 2022 or 2023, I don't remember. The problem was that the fishing was really bad. And it's tough to get people to spend money on fishing when it's bad. So I'm like, I left the Lake of the Woods trip thinking, yeah, this is the last time we'll come up here.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, that was right as far as that goes. And I don't blame people.
No.
Because they're like, if the fishing's bad, I'm not going to spend money. Although the accommodations were great. It was it's a great trip. It was a wonderful trip. But if the fishing's not good, no.
Yeah.
So no, but next week's going to be really nice. As far as temperature goes, oh, man, get out of here.
It's gonna be I saw that. It's really going to warm up this next week.
There's no wind, too.
Yeah.
When there's wind, nice. It's a killer.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a breeze out there today. I didn't think it was supposed to be as windy as it was.
But. Yeah, and that'll go through the weekend. Yeah. So.
Be nice next week, though.
You know, Northerns get a bad rap, it seems like, and they're a blast to catch.
Yeah, they're an exciting catch for sure.
You know,
and they get the bad rep because of the bones.
Yeah, but I mean, you still got to have predator species in your fisheries. I mean, yeah, those pike are a blast to catch. I'm terrible at cleaning them, so I'm a catch and release guy. But I've had Northern, and you couldn't tell the difference between that and walleye. Mm-hmm. It's just
I honestly like Northern more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can barely tell the difference if you're frying it. It's like
most people I know pickle them, and I don't like pickled fish. I don't really care for it. So, but
you see that a lot in the early spring.
Yeah.
Along Blue Dog and Rush.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys are out there trying to get fish to, especially just to pickle them, because they love the pickled Northern.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's people who love it. You know what I've run into? I don't know how you feel about it, Adam, but being out there and seeing and checking guys, but it seems like there's people that either really love the pickled Northern or have had it before and have said, "No, thank you.
Yep.
I'll pass." It's kind of a love or not.
Yep.
Kind of one of those.
There's no in between, really.
Yeah, you don't run into a lot of people who go, "Hey, it's okay." I'm sure they're out there. But it's either I really, really like them or I really, really don't. Mushy, icky, get out of here.
Yep.
So
fair enough.
And I'm kind of on that end of the spectrum. I'm just – they're a blast to catch. I love catching them.
Yeah.
Adam sticks to pizza.
Yeah. And I'm not very good at cleaning Northerns. So honestly, I'm not very good at cleaning any fish. I'd be lying if I said my wife didn't do most of our fish cleaning. So – but yeah. So Northerns are fun to catch. They're a blast. Honestly, when bites are kind of slow anyways, it's kind of refreshing just to get any activity.
Sure. So,
but
I wonder if they're hitting it hard or if it's something where they roll up to it and then, you know, they sit there for a little bit, then try it. Because how many times you look down the hole, you have a big mark, and you're just like, it's just sitting there looking at it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, look at that thing.
Yeah. And I obviously there's – it's big stone. There's a ton of fish out there to be caught. We just, a couple guys that we work with were out there last week before the cold snap really kind of hit, and they did really good on crappies and bluegills and even a couple decent walleyes. One that I saw was about 28 inches. So,
ooh, there you go.
Yeah, so.
That's fun right there.
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunity out there for sure.
Pulling a big walleye through the ice.
Always
on a
fun.
little ice rod.
Yeah. Fun. Especially when you're targeting bluegills and crappie, because, yeah, I mean, you're not expecting a big walleye to come through.
Poles bit in half. Yeah. You're like, you're
using a little ultralight rod.
Yep.
Yeah. That's good. That's good fun stuff here. But, you know, the Northern, the amount of Northern, that would explain the perch. If people are like, man, why aren't there any perch? Man, if the Northern are out there and they're feeding and they're all over the place and they're active.
Yep. Perch are still there. They're just moving away from where the Northern are.
They're getting as far away from the Northern as possible.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That much I do know. I mean, from the
perfect observation.
You could be in great perch water in the fall. I just had it happen this fall.
Yep.
Perch fishing. They're schooled up. You're catching them one right after another. And some guy down had a Northern on, lost it. And then nothing for
just
15 minutes. Yeah. 15 minutes, nothing.
Yeah.
Because them perch are gone. They're gone.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they're still here. That's why they've survived millions of years. They have that natural survival instinct.
So there we go.
Yeah.
There we go. So I would say move if you can. Especially if you're out driving. If you're driving anyway, you should move.
Yeah.
You should get out and move. If you're like, nothing's happening, let's get out and go.
Yeah, if you're getting Northerns and you don't want Northerns and you're targeting perch, you got to get out.
Move.
Right away.
Quarter mile? Half mile?
Sure.
Quarter mile. Quarter mile should be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quarter mile for me. Half mile for you.
Sure.
Far away.
Just be aware of ice conditions when you're driving around.
Right.
Seems like that's kind of changing on a regular basis right now, it seems like. I mean, we've had plenty good cold weather. There's a lot of decent ice out there, but seems like this year has been really bad for heaves anywhere you go. And there's still, you know, I've got Lake Alice down there, which I know a lot of people up in this listening area like to fish Alice. There's still a large patch of open water out there that's been wide open all year.
Really?
Kind of on that south side of the lake. So, and I was out there this last Saturday checking some guys, and we swung way wide of that open water, but there is a heave that's kind of forming off of that open water, shooting almost straight north towards the lake. We were able to get around it, but if it keeps spreading, it's almost going to cut off the entire lake. So, just obviously, you know, there's been some stuff in the news lately with some accidents. I know this last weekend we had a few vehicles go through. I think Bitter had a couple, and Wabe had one, and so just obviously be mindful. You know, if you've been fishing the same spot day in, day out, you're pretty familiar with where you're at, but seems like with these up and down temperatures, these lakes really change on a regular basis lately this year for whatever reason. So just be aware, you know. I wouldn't recommend going on a lake for the first time in the dark. You know, make sure you scout it out.
Anytime smart, in the dark.
Yeah, I mean. I don't like driving on the ice after dark, period, but a lot of people do it. Most of them usually get there before it's dark, though, so they know where they're going. Mm-hmm. But, just be mindful, be safe, cautious out there. I've kind of seen it all over. I guess as far as a little bit of a fishing report, this last weekend we had pretty big operation up here in the Northeast. I don't know if I need to get into all the details, but we had a – usually every winter we pick a couple weekends out of the year to kind of ramp things up a little bit. Like most weekends, a lot of us are working anyways, but we bring in guys from other parts of the state that maybe don't work ice fishermen quite as much don't get the opportunity, I guess, to see what our normal weekends look like up here when you have hundreds of people coming from
the seas
all over the place. Yep. To fish up here. And yeah, we worked a pretty big operation, Friday and Saturday. And we were going to work Sunday too. And it just kind of got too cold. We kind of called quits, but yeah, I think I was looking at our stats. We worked like 21 different lakes up here in the Northeast. And, it was pretty impressive to see all the diehards that are still out when it's negative 40 wind chill. Like it's just,
yeah. And their pop-ups.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. There's a lot of people out in permanent shacks, but I mean, I went on Alice on Saturday morning and yeah, there were three pop-ups out there and I was like, geez, you guys are way more diehard than what I am.
They want to catch fish.
They really
They're committed.
Do. Yeah. So
I salute them.
Yeah.
I can understand it. Yeah. It's like, huh, you get an itch for it and you want to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed staying. I mean, I worked Saturday, but I was in the comfort of my home in the heat on Sunday.
Right.
And Monday.
Right.
So were you guys going out on trucks or on
side by sides? A little of both. Some of the guys that are more comfortable driving with their trucks, they were out. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we had Rangers with tracks and cabs on them and stuff. But, you know, we got these Iowa guys that are kind of scared to drive on the ice, a few of them. So, and honestly, I mean,
news, like.
I grew up here and I'm still a little bit sketched out. I mean, you're lying if you say every single time you're driving on the ice that you don't have that little feeling in your gut at all times. So,
right.
Yeah. There's no such thing as safe ice. I mean, it's
right.
You can have 16 to 20 inches and there's still spots that are open in areas.
So checking everyone doing that.
Yeah.
Did we have any sort of violations? Did we have mass violations? Did you have to at any point in time bust out the taser?
So I've actually.
yeah, we want to hear some fun stories.
Yeah, I want to hear some good stories.
I don't have any real great stories. I do have.
Which is good.
No taser.
Gotcha. No. So that was good.
Yes.
I do have some stats here. We hit up 21 different lakes Primarily Duel, Hamlin, Coddington, Day for the most part. There was a pretty large presence out here on Big Stone. I think Blake was out here, but then Minnesota brought several officers over, like almost close to like 10, it sounded like. So if you were on Big Stone last weekend, there's probably a pretty good chance you got checked. I was just looking at our overall numbers just on that operation in 2 days. We checked 569 residents and 839 non-residents. And out of those people, 18 warnings were issued and 30 citations. So they actually did the math for us here. And even so, it was like a little less than, it's like 3.4% violation rate. So 48 people out of almost 1,400 just in the 2 days that we checked.
That's not bad.
No, that's
really not too bad.
Yeah.
But what would it be if fishing was hot right now is the thing. It's like,
good point. Yeah.
It depends on things.
But it's crazy to me to think that, I mean, we hit up 21 lakes and 1,400 people, and this was by far the coldest weekend we'd had. You know, and that was just in a day and a half, essentially, because Friday it was just an evening for a couple hours, and it was Saturday everybody was out. So it's kind of crazy that there's still that many people that are out fishing when it's that cold, you know. But
yeah, and you brought up a great point, Sonny. I mean, I can only speak for myself. I don't want to speak for other people, but I don't know how many times I've thought to myself, boy, fishing's so good right now. Wish I could keep more than what the limit is. Man,
yeah.
Wish I could keep more walleye. Wish I could do that. That would be awesome. But then you don't because it's not worth the risk. But
yeah, and I was actually
you're tempted, but you don't do it. The vast majority of us, anyway, as those stats point out, don't do it because it's just not worth the risk. It's not right.
Or you're tempted. What's the term called when you keep smaller fish and when you catch a bigger one, you release the small one?
So
isn't there a term for
high
that?
High grading?
Yeah.
High grading. Yeah. Yep. It is. It's kind of, you guys mentioned, like, keeping over your limit. I'm looking at the 48 violations here, and we actually didn't have a single over limit charge, it looks like, on here. So
wow.
It's a lot of
that's good.
No license or
fishing without a license, some littering cases, too many lines, some drug stuff, unattended lines.
Taking drugs. Don't take drugs on the ice.
Underage consumption.
Oh, yeah.
So
that wouldn't surprise me.
Yep, so yeah, and then there was a note here. Four different vehicles hit heaves between Friday and Sunday where they actually got stuck or dropped. And that two of them were on dry, or one of them was on dry two down by Clark or Willow Lake. Two on Bitter and one on Wabe. So.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I wonder how many are undocumented.
Yeah. Well, there was actually, I was talking to one of our Webster officers yesterday, and he got called out last night for a vehicle up on the north end of Wabe that had dropped through, and somebody reported it reported that they saw it. So he went and investigated. There was nobody in there. He called one of the locals, and he said, oh, yeah, that's been there since Saturday or Sunday.
Oh.
So it took that long for somebody else to happen to be fishing in the area and see it. So, but yeah, you know, like we said, no ice is ever safe, and don't try and cross heaves. That's 99% of the time when things happen and people drop through, it's trying to cross a heave.
What if you're on a snowmobile just flying?
I wouldn't do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just much like the drugs on the ice, just say no.
Yeah.
Just say no. 1031 Conservation Show. More goodness next. 1035 Conservation Show continues with Sonny and Adam on the program. And I see that I got a notification via the email that it's time for me to go and deal with my fishing license.
Ah, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's right. I got to get that done. I'm in for the automatic renewal because it's like I'm not ever going to not get my fishing mm-hmm. license. So, yeah, I got to do that. So that's one of the things I have to do.
Yeah, with that.
I like to print off several copies. And I like to use the work printer. That way I don't have to, you know, use my own ink.
Yeah.
If anybody, like, listening, the powers that be, send all comments to Sunny at Hartford Beach.
Let me know.
She said it, I didn't.
Hartford at state.sc.us.
No, in all seriousness, it's time to make sure we get that license by next Saturday, right? Saturday's February 1st, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Licenses are good through January 31st. So, yeah, whenever February 1st is, yeah, be next week already. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you do, you know, Carino mentioned auto renew. Auto renew is great. I think most of our hitches that we had when we first switched over to this license system are gone now, but just double check when you do think you have auto renew, log into your account, just double check. Sometimes, I mean, even you might have an old card on file that maybe the expiration date expired or something, you know, that happens, and it's not going to obviously auto renew if there isn't a payment there. So just double check. If you do have it, if you have auto renew chosen, make sure you log into your account still and just double check that it's there. Plus, you are required to have a copy of your license. So whether it's either logging into your app on your phone or taking a screenshot or a picture of it or something, or even a paper copy, we still require that. So don't just strictly rely on saying, well, I got auto renew, so I'm sure I have a license when we come and check you. You still got to show it to us. So, yeah, so I think, is it Minnesota? They run through the end of February, I think. So I know there's probably a lot of people on both sides of the border here that fish Big Stone or any of these. So South Dakota, we expire the end of this month. Minnesota is the end of February. So it's that time of the year. Get your licenses. With that, I think the last time I was on the show, I mentioned new fishing handbooks. Those are out now, and it's been updated on our app, too. So our new handbooks are there. I haven't really even looked at it real closely, but typically, if there were any major changes, they have those in the first couple of pages of that fishing handbook. Nothing really sticks out to me that as far as changes go, so I don't think there's a whole lot, but just double check. Those handbooks are free of charge. You can pick them up at a lot of gas stations, any of our Game Fish and Parks regional offices, or you can get an online copy too through the app or even on our website. So just double check that. Not a bad idea to grab a couple of them, throw one in your pickup and your tackle box. And so otherwise, I'll just do a quick little rundown on dual counties. So as far as fishing goes, I know I mentioned Alice a little bit. If you are going down to Alice, be very careful. There is a large patch of open water out there, kind of on that south side. So if you're familiar with it, a lot of people are coming in by the culvert on that southwest corner. That's typically where they're accessing it because the state access on the north side, the heave is kind of pushed up along shore there, so it's pretty tough to get out there. But be aware, once you get out of that bay on that southwest corner and you start to go back east, that's where that open water is at. So you're going to really want to swing way wide. There, like I said, there's a heave that runs north there too, so be mindful of that. Check some people out there on Saturday. The bite wasn't real hot. Few northerns throughout the day. Walleye bites picking up a little bit, but it's all after dark. Everything is, the water's pretty much crystal clear out there. So the bite is pretty much after dark, and that's about it for walleyes.
How far after dark are we talking? Are we talking like 10 o'clock in the morning, at night, 2 in the morning?
I think all night long it's probably fine, but it's got to be pretty much pitch dark, it seems like, out there. So
gotcha.
It's not a right at sunset or that last half hour or anything like that. It seems like it's the fish have only been biting pretty much at dark as far as the walleyes go. Otherwise, you know, bullhead's been kind of slow. I've seen a few people fishing out there catching, you know, they're picking up a walleye or two and the occasional perch. Round Lake, I have not seen much activity out there. The few people that are fishing are staying close to shore, fishing for northerns. Clear Lake, little bit of a walleye bite out there, if you can find them. It's been more northerns than anything else lately, but there is a heave there as well that runs kind of from the boat ramp across to kind of the west side of the lake, but most people are fishing that north end anyways, so it's not really an issue. Coteau has been pretty busy. The bite is kind of tapering down a little bit down there, but they were, you know, catching a few perch. The walleye bite was pretty good that last hour or so of daylight, and then after dark it kind of died. A lot of pike in there as well. There's, I don't know, 10 or 15 permanent houses out there, but I've noticed in the last week a lot of people are starting to pull theirs off. The bite has definitely slowed down a little bit out there. Otherwise, there hasn't been a lot of fishing pressure. There's always a few people out on Cochrane. That crappie bite still hasn't really taken off, but they're catching some perch throughout the day, some smaller ones.
I have a question about a water body in your county.
Okay.
I don't even know if there's water in it still, but I was reading a book called The History of Fisheries and Fish of South Dakota. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Okay. So... and Gary Creek.
Yep.
That's the only natural water body that can sustain trout east of South, or on the east side of South Dakota. Does this still hold trout?
So, interesting you bring this up. So, we haven't seen trout. We actually had some studies the last couple of years on Gary Creek, and they determined that based on depth and pools and everything else out there, that it wasn't capable of sustaining trout on a regular basis anymore.
Okay.
But Rhett Russell out of Watertown is working on a really cool project at the Gary Gulch, which is right outside of Gary, and the Gary Creek runs through it. We've actually got contractors working down there right now as we speak. We've got money... several partners like Trout Unlimited and stuff like that, they're actually kind of making that, I don't even know the exact terminology, I guess, but, you know, they're putting pools in, they're deepening some spots, they're cleaning up kind of some of the shoreline stuff, and actually putting trails in this next year.
Didn't
like
they burn that GPA too?
Yeah, the top of it, mm-hmm. Yep, up top. But down where the creek is, by November of next year, this whole project's going to be done, and it's going to probably bring in a lot of trout fishermen. It's going to
be awesome.
It's going to be really cool. It's an awesome project. Not only trout fishermen, but you know they're putting like hiking trails in out there.
Very cool.
If you haven't been to that game production area, it's literally just a half mile west of the town of Gary, and it's super super cool.
I fished it before.
Have you? Gary Creek runs right through there.
With
and
the trout, where they stock the trout?
That's the tiny little pond or the lake that they got in town. Yep, yeah. Which is connected to the Gary Creek.
Gotcha.
Yep.
I fished the pond before.
Yep, it's right at the campground
cool.
at Buffalo
yeah,
Ridge
it's
there.
Cool.
Yep. So, yeah, that as that project moves forward, right now, you know, we've got a contractor in there right now that's kind of cleaning things up a little bit and doing some work, but the vast majority of the work is going to be next summer once everything kind of thaws. But my understanding is they're hoping by next fall that project is completely finished, and it's going to be really cool for, you know, that's one thing. I mean, we've got trout ponds around here, you know, like Carino mentioned the pond in Gary, and you've got the quarry out here, but curious what this will bring in. I'm not much of a trout fisherman, I guess. So, but
yeah, it's kind of known that trout fishermen can be a little bit snobby about their trout.
Yeah.
You know, I just...
This is coming
I'm
from
not,
a trout
I,
fisherman
I,
here.
I know, but I'm not saying all are, but some are. And a lot of them will only want to fish naturally producing trout that don't have to be stocked or aren't going to get winter killed.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to bring in... maybe, yeah, a decent amount. Because that's, it would be the only part in eastern South Dakota that would naturally be producing those.
Yeah.
Is what I read.
And
so.
And obviously we're going to have to stock it initially. But, yeah, I don't know what the plans are. Maybe sometime we'll have Rhett come on because he, super familiar with the project. It's kind of his baby and he's really proud of it. So, I think it's going to be really neat, for sure. But I'm not really a trout fisherman though, but
I'd be fishing.
I'd be willing to try it.
And you can actually cast. That'd be pretty cool.
I grew up in this area, so I'm used to being snobbish about walleyes and perch.
There you go.
So it's just kind of how it is. So.
And you're not alone.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Spoiled. Spoiled people. Last weekend for pheasant hunting.
Yeah, yeah.
Friday
next week
is last day.
I kind of forgot about that. Sonny mentioned pheasant hunting a little bit during our break. And, yeah, I'm so focused on ice fishing mode right now that, yeah, we still have some opportunity to get out there through the rest of this month. Pheasant season's still open. It'll kind of crazy to think that it's still open.
It's open for a long time.
I haven't seen too many people out recently, but
I've been seeing tons of pheasants.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no shortage of pheasants. I see plenty of them running around. It looks really good in comparison to what we had seen the prior 5 years. I would say this is probably a pretty good high right now, but. Yeah, you still got some opportunity out there, and looks like it's going to be a pretty decent weekend, and then next week's even going to warm up a little bit more, so be a good chance to take advantage of another week-long of pheasant season and enjoy it.
Have you gone out pheasant hunting?
I have not.
Me neither.
Not even once all year.
I had a combination. I'm like, maybe I will, and I didn't use it.
So. Yeah, we were going to go on that resident-only weekend. It was like, because that's always a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, because there's a holiday in there. And I worked during the morning, something like that. And then in the afternoon, we were going to go, and I went home. We were getting stuff ready, and then I got called out to work. So
that's kinda how the job goes.
Kind of how it goes, yeah. So, and then I just, I don't know, just didn't get myself pushed to go back out again. I didn't really grow up doing a lot of pheasant hunting, so it doesn't excite me that much. It's fun, but
it's definitely a traditional thing for a lot of families.
Yeah.
Like, they all get together opener or whatever day, if it's a few weeks after or whatever. It's very tradition-based.
Yeah. I'm just so addicted to duck and goose hunting that if I was pheasant hunting and I saw a duck fly over, I'd be done just like that and ready to go find something else. So.
Why goose?
I don't know. I just enjoy it.
Gotcha.
It's what I like to do. I don't know. It's a blast.
Do you grow up, literally?
Do you like the taste of goose?
Make it into jerky. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where I certainly enjoy the taste of pheasant a lot better, but I don't enjoy hunting pheasants that much, but I really enjoy duck and goose hunting. So you kind of find ways to make it taste good so that you can continue to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not fantastic by any means, but put enough seasoning on anything and it's doable.
Or make it into jerky.
Completely understand.
Yeah.
You hit it with just the right salt.
Yeah.
How much is that? A liter?
Yes. You shouldn't be able to see the meat. Just
salt.
Otherwise,
would you like some meat with yourself?
Yes. Yeah. Otherwise, our spring turkey applications are open right now. First draw deadline is February 12th. So if you haven't applied for your spring turkey application, make sure you get that in. That includes all of them. So it's got Custer State Park, our prairie spring season here. Black Hills, so make sure you get those applications in. I know a lot of them up in this country specifically, if you don't get your application in for that first draw, pretty good chance that you probably won't get a turkey tag because they usually go right away. So,
Hartford Beach, the place for the turkeys.
It's true.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
there's plenty of turkeys up there.
There are plenty. I mean, there's plenty everywhere around here.
Yeah.
Yep.
1051 Conservation Show. More next. Stay tuned. AMSD Conservation Show continues as we're almost into the 11 o'clock hour and the top 10 right around the corner. Stay tuned. 5 minutes left.
And we're still here. The other, I just mentioned spring turkey apps, Lake Francis Case snagging for paddlefish is also open right now until February 10th. I don't know much about that. Don't go down there. But
how do you snag for paddlefish?
Big lures and big rods. That's pretty
big
much
movements.
It. Yep. I've seen it a little bit when I was in
big
field
giant
training.
Spoon. 3 pound spoon down there. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's that application's open till February 10th. I was just checked our mountain lion totals this morning before I came up. We're at 11 females harvested and 7 males. Last time I was on the show, I think I mentioned the quota was either 60 total lions or 40 females. So we are a long ways out from that yet. So
got a bit.
Trying to keep the mountain lion population in control. Is that what that is for?
Yep. Our season that we have where we actually have quotas is strictly in the Black Hills. Outside of the Black Hills, there's no quotas or anything. Obviously, if we're not managing for mountain lions outside of the Black Hills, so that's kind of all there is to it, I guess. But I know typically most of your lion hunters are waiting for a good snowfall, and then they just kind of follow a fresh track and go from there. But it'd be kind of cool to go out there and work it a little bit and just see how it goes. I've never been around there, been around the hills during that time of the year. So
it would be a fun experience, especially if you're successful.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure most of the time, it's just not how you want it to go.
Yep. Yep.
It would certainly be a hunt of a lifetime, and that's no lion.
That is good.
I'm sorry.
No lion.
I apologize.
Otherwise, I've kind of hogged the show. I know it's that time of the year where things kind of slow down in the park a little bit, but I don't know what you've all got cooking or going on in the park.
Come to the park. It's awesome. Thank you.
Parks are open year-round.
They are.
Yeah.
Been seeing a little bit of trailers in the boat ramp. People have been taking either their snow bears or side by sides out, but just make sure you got your park pass if you're parking in the park. Got a few cabins open this weekend, so if you're like, man, I want to stay in a cabin, you can still do that. Just go to campsd.com. Actually, if you're going to reserve this weekend, you'll have to call our reservation line, I think it's 1-800-710-2267. I haven't said that in a long time to anyone. No one's called about reservations, so I haven't had to say it.
Everybody's kind of used to the online system at this point.
Yeah, but
how far ahead can you call for reservations?
90 days.
So,
folks are listening
to this right now, April the 24th, that's the 90 days.
Yeah.
Got to be thinking spring by then, spring fishing.
By mid-February, late February, it's going to be Memorial Day, Mother's Day. And those usually fill up. I mean, if you want a specific spot, you should get in 90 days before, for sure. Because there are a lot of people who are on top of it.
Right. And you figure that the back half of April, you should be okay weather-wise. I stress should.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and that's about when turkey season starts and so.
Yeah, other fun stuff is rolling around.
Yep.
My first turkey hunting experience was so fun. I might want to do it again. It was just like such a fun day.
I have yet to even kill a turkey, but I've
what?
Gone several times And it's just, it's a blast watching them work. I've taken people out and they've been successful, but it's just, it's fun watching them strut coming into your decoy.
It is so
and,
fun.
Oh, it's, I've had hens come in and just destroy my decoy out in front of me. It's, turkey hunting is something different. I love it. I didn't do it growing up, so I've only recently started getting into it the last 4 or 5 years, I suppose. But it's just as much fun calling and having somebody else be successful while I'm sitting there watching. It's
totally.
It's awesome. So,
programs, there's not really much going on in the Northeast at all. I checked. Cassie isn't working this weekend, that's why, usually. She tries to do a lot of programs on the weekend, but I know there's tons of programs going on in the Southeast, so if you're going down to Sioux Falls and want to catch a program, you surely can. Way to check that, just look up Go Outdoor South Dakota programs, and then we have a big program list all over the state, so
sounds
check
good.
It out.
Sounds good. See you guys next week.